You stuck your hand in a lifetime span, 180 years. And yet, there are very few snapshots that the story gives us of these blessed minutes. Which therefore makes each snapshot doubly significant. After the Akedah, the first two times the Torah describes Yitzchak Avinu to us is by Yitzha Yitzchak, Ratzuas Basada Vatnotaret, which the Gemara in Brachos, of course, tells us, Ein Tzicha El Tzuma. And then again, at the beginning of Parshas Toldos, Vayez HaYitzchak HaShem Unrachach Ishto. Yitzchak Avinu is portrayed both times as engaged in tefila, only with tefila. And not only does the Torah's portrait or portrayal of Yitzchak Avinu suggest an identification with Avodah, but it seems to frame the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka. Rivka first sees Yitzchak when he was Yotzer Hatzlach Basoda, and then the next glimpse we're given of Yitzchak and Rivka is Vayez HaYitzchak HaShem and also Ishta, but who will make the Zohar the Zohar? Who will make the Zohar the Zohar? And in fact, we have a tradition that the Avot, the Gimel Avot, correspond to the Gimel Amudei HaOlam, and it's generally understood that the correlation is that Avraham Avinu represents the Midah of Chesed, Yitzchak Avinu the Amud of Avodah, which again, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, as Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos explains, doesn't only mean Avodas HaKuvonos, Yitzchak Avinu was that also, and Ola Tzmimor, but also Tefillah, which is Ikrei Avodah, and Yaakov, Titen Emes to Yaakov, Emes is Torah, and Yaakov Avinu represents the Amud of Torah. So the Torah portrays Yitzchak Avinu, again, as the representative of Avodah, that Amud HaOlam, and specifically Avodah in the form of Tefillah. Now, another portrait which the Torah provides us of Yitzchak Avinu is Vayoshev Yitzchak Varyachpoz Be'er Samayim Asher Chofu Bimei Avam Oviv, and then Vayisatmum Plishtim Vayimalam Alpo, and then Vayikur Lahen Shemros Hashemos Asher Koru Lahen Oviv. Yitzchak Avinu digs the same wells which Avram Avinu had dug, and then he renames the wells, and he's particular, he's makbid to give them the same names which Avraham Avinu gave. So what's the significance of this, of Yitzchak Avinu, Yashav Yitzchak Vayachpoh, and Vayikuvah and Shemos, HaShemos HaShekoru Lehenaviv? So we know again the Ramban's basic principle for interpreting Sefer Bereishis following Chazal is Ma'aseh Avos Siman Rabbanim. Now what Ma'aseh Avos Siman Rabbanim means is not simply that what the Avos did foreshadowed Jewish history. It means that as well, but it means something much deeper than that. What it means is that the Avos, through their behavior, through their Ma'asim, created certain spiritual capacities which then became the Marosha, which then became the legacy and was embedded in Klal Yisrael L'dorei Doro. That's what it means, Ma'aseh Avos Siman Rabbanim, that again, that the Avos, through their behavior, again, created, again, not only paradigms of behavior, but capacities and potential, which is then embedded within us, within Kal Yisrael, the Dorei Doros. Now, one element, one facet of Yitzhak Avinu's Ma'aseh Avos Siman Abonim, Avraham Avinu, the Avoda, he discovered the Ribono Shel Olam. Right? The Rambam describes he had no teacher on his own. Avraham Avinu discovered the Ribono Shel Olam. Yitzhak was the first second generation Ma'amin. Yitzhak Avinu was the first one who was brought up from. So what's the avoda in that? That's easy. No. So what's the avoda if a person, it's a tremendous avoda if a person doesn't have the bracha and benefit of being taught and being raised and inculcated with emunah. What's the avoda when a person has that? So the avoda is also a great avoda, because there's a tremendous danger that when a person is brought up to be a ma'amin, that emunah will remain a second-hand emunah. It will remain something indirect. It will remain that this was my father's relationship. Right? Re'acha v'rei avicha. This was my father's friend. Okay, so I feel a certain kurva because he's my father's friend, but it's indirect. The intensity gradually wanes. The capacity which Yitzhak Avinu created for Kal Yisrael was that we should have the capacity to be ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim, meaning that our emunah shouldn't only be a morosha, it should be that also, but it should have the same intensity as it does for the first generation. And again, just to concretize what we're talking about, so Puk Chazi, right? We all know that sometimes you see someone who has tremendous fervor for his Yiddishkeit, someone with a tremendous passion, someone with a tremendous drive. Very often it's someone who was not brought up from. It's someone who has that first-hand experience and discovery of the Ribono Shel Olam. There's nothing mitzvah anoshim melumada about his commitment, because it wasn't melumada, because he self-taught, because there was self-discovery. And too often, those of us who had the bracha and the benefit of being inculcated with emunah, it remains second-hand. It remains indirect, and it's not personalized, and we don't experience it firsthand with the same intensity, and therefore we sometimes don't demonstrate that same devotion and dedication. That was Yitzhak Avinu's avoda. Vayashav Yitzhak vayachvos beres hamayim. That Yitzhak rediscovered. Again, the path had been blazed by Avraham Avinu, but the point is that Yitzhak Avinu wasn't content. Just as wind shouldn't be content that it should be a second-hand emunah. No, it should be a first-hand emunah. That a person should experience, again, through Torah, the path that Avraham Avinu already trailblazed. Not that we have to find a new path, but through that path, it should be a first-hand avoda. It should be a first-hand experience of feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah, through mitzvahs. That's the significance of Vayoshev Yitzhak Vayachvos Be'eros Hamayim and Vayikru Lahen Shemos Kashemos Shekara Lahen Ovid. And again, that's clearly what we're meramis to in Tfila Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu. Again, not that we should be content with Elokei Avoseinu, but it has to be Elokeinu as well. Apparently, in this avoda of rediscovery, in this avoda of experiencing firsthand and directly what has been the emunah, which has been bequeathed to us, tefillah plays a very important and prominent role. Why is that? So you are familiar with Reb Chaim's definition that the very essence of tefillah, right, the very maisa hamitzvah of tefillah, is the awareness of Omed L'chnei Hashem. And Reb Chaim says if a person loses that awareness, he becomes a misasek. It's not simply that he's lacking kavana, but in tefillah, again, the very definition, the very essence of tefillah is the awareness of L'chnei Hashem. How does this differ from the perennial L'chnei Hashem which a person has? So perhaps ultimately the madrega of tzaddikim is that the difference narrows more and more until it's really not that significant. But how does it differ for us? How does the L'chnei Hashem which a person always has, how is that sense intensified? How does it differ when we say that tefillah al pidin is defined as L'chnei Hashem? So the mashal would be as follows. A person can be aware that the room is bugged. A person can be aware that what he says is audible to others. A person can be aware that maybe there's a camera, so that what he does is visible to others. But those others might be standing in a remote room, again monitoring, again what the bug picks up, monitoring whatever pictures the camera sends back. So there's an awareness of ayin roa and ozen shoma. There's an awareness of, again, nothing goes undetected, nothing is unseen, nothing is inaudible, and in that sense one is L'chnei Hashem. But then, coming back to the mashal, a person can feel not just that the camera is picking up his movements and is flashing them back, but that he's actually in the presence of the melech, that he's in the chotza hafnimis and he's speaking to the melech. L'chnei Hashem in that sense. That's already a much more powerful sense of L'chnei Hashem. And it's that latter sense of L'chnei Hashem which is what tefillah consists of. Again, that sense of not only an ayin roa and an ozen shomas, which, again, even for us, on the most elementary level, should be a permanently embedded within our consciousness, but b'shas tefillah, again, is a sense of omed l'fnei hamelech. And when you think about it, now's not the time to be ma'arich on this, but Reb Chaim's definition of L'chnei Hashem as, again, the essence of tefillah, the maisa hamitzvah of tefillah, l'chora is totally muchrach. Because again, we all know that the Rambam in Parag Aleph defines tefillah as avodah shebalev, right? Following the Gemara in Tainus, the Sifri, l'avda b'chol levavchem, ezer avodah shehibalev is heavy omer zat tefillah. Then when the Rambam defines kavana in Parag Dalid, so the Rambam says, "Ketiri a kavana sheyefana es libo mikol hamachshavos v'yira atzmo kilu omid l'fnei hashchina." So these two halachas have to be juxtaposed, right? It's only if yefana es libo v'yira atzmo kilu omid l'fnei hashchina. It's only then that it's an avodah shabalev. How else is it an avodah shabalev? The Rav used to say, Margulo de Fume, used to say it all the time in Droshes. I think it's in at least one of the English Ma'amorim as well, that the only difference between Tefillah and Nevuah is that in Nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the initiative and speaks to Basar Adam, and that in Tefillah he lets us take the initiative, and that we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But basically it's the same. Basically it's the same that a person engages HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person engages HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Tefillah is. So certainly, there's nothing, at least at the outset, more powerful in terms of the Bechina of Vayoshev, Vayachbor, as Be'eros Hamayim, and Vayikru Lahen Shemos, Kashemos HaShekar Lahen Oviv, than to be Omeid V'Tfilah, to be Mefanes Libo Mikol HaMachshavos, and to be Omeid that way, Lifnei HaShchina. Now, even with this very rudimentary review of Tefillah, there's much more we know that in coming weeks I hope we'll be able to discuss, but even with this, again, very rudimentary review of Tefillah, it helps one understand why the problem of talking during davening is such an acute problem. Again, not to suggest that by any stretch of the imagination the problem is new to our generation. We obviously know that it isn't. But that awareness, which sometimes is used to perhaps justify, really, that perspective that we know that it's not new at all to our generation really makes it worse, because we know that Chazal say that the Ribon Shalom is more makpid on an aveira, Rachmanu Litzlan, when it's folks in Masa Avosayim V'Yadayim. So the awareness that this is not a new problem makes it not less serious, less severe, but Rachmanu Litzlan more serious and more severe, and it cries out with all the more urgency. Why is it so terrible? Because again, if it was simply a hefsek, it would be bad enough. Simply a hefsek would be bad enough. But if a person speaks even once during davening when he shouldn't, it destroys the entire Lifnei Hashem. Whoever heard that a lawyer is standing in front of a judge and he keeps his cell phone on, and in the middle of his presentation, say he interrupts and he answers the cell phone and he conducts the conversation. The very possibility of conversation means that we don't begin to understand what tefillah is. It's not just a question of hefsek. It's not just a question of a hefsek. Maybe talking during every mitzvah is just an inyan of hefsek. That's bad enough. Lav milsa zutusa. But the possibility of talking, again, it wouldn't occur to anyone when engaged in dialogue. Right? If you're talking with someone and you see someone else is waiting to talk to you, so the person waits. You're not gonna interrupt the conversation you're having presently to speak to a third person. It's not the other person. The very possibility, to say nothing of the reality of talking, it means that we just don't begin to understand what tefillah is, and that we don't begin to experience the Lifnei Hashem, which just has so much potential in terms of transforming our lives, in terms of allowing us to experience the Ribono Shel Olam. The Baal Shem Tov said that everything that he achieved was in the schus of his avodah of tefillah. Everything that he achieved, meaning in Torah also, this means that the relationship between the two is something we'll talk about yet, but that everything he achieved, everything he attained, was in the schus of his avodah of tefillah. So the potential is so great, but only if, again, if it's an experience of Lifnei Hashem. Even one comment, shows that we lack this awareness of Lifnei Hashem. We know that the physical world is a reflection of the spiritual world for many reasons. It's the spiritual world which gives chiyus to the physical world, therefore they have to be correlated. And it's also for that reason that very often spiritual concepts in ruchnius, can be understood, can be apprehended by an analogy to the physical world, because of this mirroring which happens between the physical world and the spiritual world. So just as in the physical world, we know that there's a force in physics. We know there's a force of momentum. And that it's a powerful force. So in Ruchnius is also momentum. A person can create momentum in Ruchnius also. Just imagine the momentum that could be created and the impact that it could have if every Talmud in our yeshiva, not only Ben Kosla HaYeshiva, but also when he goes home, weekends, Shabbos, Yom Tov, vacation, would carry with him this understanding of tefillah as being Lifnei Hashem, and this strong resolution, determination to maintain that experience of Lifnei Hashem and not let it be compromised, vitiated by talking. Just imagine the momentum that would create. Just imagine the impact that would have. And not only Mishchutz L'Kosle HaYeshiva during these years, but it should be Nikar, one of the saddest experiences a person has. It's saddening and it's jarring, is when you see someone who used to be a Ben Yeshiva in his younger years. He was a Ben Yeshiva. And then you see him. And you see there was a Yerida. You see the person talking in shul. And one wonders, where was the effect of all the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, if a few years later, there has been such a Yerida? So why does this happen? There are many reasons that it happens. And again, too much of an arichus to go into now, but one consideration, we know on other occasions we'll talk about others, but one is that a person has to plan for the future. A person has to have a blueprint for nisyonos he will encounter. In Parshas Vayetze, So Chazal Medayik Vayishka V'amokam Ahu, but during the 14 years that Yaakov Avinu was in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, he didn't sleep. He was up all night learning. I don't think Chazal mean Maisa Nisa necessarily, but he was misnamne, right? Like the Gemara describes David Avinu. He was misnamne, but he never lay down to sleep. So the question is, if for 14 years Yaakov Avinu had that gevura, so what, all of a sudden now he was overcome by fatigue? All of a sudden now, Vayishkav Vamakom Ahu, he decided he's going to catch up on 14 years worth of lost sleep. He's going to take a nice comfortable stone and go to bed early. So the answer is that it's not that Yaakov Avinu went to sleep and then he dreamt. He went to sleep in order to dream. That's why Yaakov Avinu went to sleep. He went to sleep in order to dream. Because what does a dream represent when we dream, right? So especially when you're young, so you dream about the future, right? You dream, plans for the future. So Yaakov Avinu recognized that in leaving the cloistered environment of Yeshiva Shem Va'Evar, so he realized, and going to Lavan Arami, so he knew that there was a whole range of Nisyanos that awaited him. And he knew that only by dreaming, by having a blueprint for how he would cope with those Nisyanos, by preparing himself for what to expect, what to anticipate, but only then would he be able to maintain himself and his madrega, and only then would he be able to say a parasha later in Lovan Garti and Tayag Mitzvah Shamati. One of the main things which one tries to accomplish within one's years in yeshiva is the vayachlom for the future. And the vayachlom, again, it's in terms of Kriyas Yitim LaTorah, but to apply it to what we're discussing tonight, in terms of Avodas HaTfilah, so a person has to realize that the Nisyanos are very great, because we all know that that's the case. It doesn't need to be discerned. So a person has to have that vayachlom to maintain himself in the face of those Nisyanos. And just imagine the momentum created and the potential impact if every Ben Yeshiva who goes through the Kosta HaYeshiva here would emerge with such a chalom and would implement it. Just imagine how davening could be revolutionized. Just imagine that we would be able then to tap into that koach of Matzah Ovo Sinam Lavonim created by Yitzhak Avinu, or by Yoshev Yitzhak and by Yikro Lahen Shemos, Hashemos Asher Karo Lahen Ozif.